Well, listen, we're going to continue in our Bible study in the Gospel of Mark. And once again, I want to welcome everyone who's visiting for the first time. And for those of you who are tuning in online, we are blessed that you're joining us, and we pray that the service this morning would bless you. Please open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. If you do not have one, please raise your hand. We would love for you to follow along with us, and we can also just know that if you do not have one personally, you can take that one as a gift from us to you. We would desire everybody to have a copy of God's Word available to them at all times. While you're turning there, I just want to share with you really quickly that we are super thankful that we have this weekend to celebrate Veterans Day. And I want to just personally acknowledge any that are here this morning. And so if you have served in our armed forces, would you please stand for us so that we can acknowledge you and thank you for your service. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. And Pastor Steve's going to take you all out for breakfast after the service. I'm just kidding. But seriously, thank you so much for your sacrifices and for blessing us with the freedoms that we have today. And we're thankful for those who are still serving today and pray for them as well. So the other thing I want to just remind us really quick as we are getting closer to December, all of our Christmas outreach information is at the Connection Center, and that's kind of what you're hearing throughout all of the different announcements, from Operation Child shoeboxes to the Mexico trip. We're going to have Grace Rains come next week, share a little bit about what God's doing in Colorado City, which is probably about a good 45 minutes away, maybe an hour away from us. And then, of course, we still want to reach out within the body of Christ here and take care of the families here within Calvary St. George. And so stop by the Connection Center. We would love for you to be a part of those things. And just, again, our greatest desire is you pray, let the Lord lead you in how you can connect and be a part of any of these ministries. But I know that all of us can pray for them. This is an important time for many of us to take advantage of the opportunities to show Christ through our Christmas season and at the end of the year with Thanksgiving and all that we do. And so, great way for us to do this. And then also, I want to just share this really briefly. At the end of the service, if you would please stick around, we're going to be praying for one of our outreaches that are getting ready to go out in a couple of weeks. Or actually, no, tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. And so, if you can stick around after the last worship song, that would be a great opportunity for us to lift them up into God's hands and that he would bless the trip. So with that, let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. We're looking at Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then the disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said, set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Immediately got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. If that's how you pronounce that. If not, Google it. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your faithfulness and love and for blessing us again with the freedoms that we have. God, we thank you for your word that we have in the palm of our hands. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've given us everything that we need to know specifically concerning these last days. So we continue to ask God for your hand of love, grace, and mercy to be upon us. We pray for our world. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, God, that you, being who you are, would continue to keep your word and that you would help us, Lord, be a light today in this dark, dark world that we live in. As broken as it is, Lord, you've called us to be a light. You called us to be in this world, but not to be of it. So God, help us today to walk with you, to love you, to demonstrate, Lord, to give people an opportunity to see Jesus in us. So take our hearts this morning and once again, do what you do best. Transform us from the inside out. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So one of the things I want to share with you really briefly is, please remember last week's study as Jesus did an amazing miracle in healing a man who was deaf and also mute. And of course, the amazing thing about this miracle is, again, Jesus is in Gentile area, a non-Jewish area. And of course, every Gentile during that time felt opposition from the Jewish people, that they were outsiders, that they would never get an opportunity to experience the promises of God or ever have a relationship with God. And it's amazing to me, as Jesus went into this Gentile area and he reached out, he extended love, he extended his compassion and healing many people, just showing and proving that his message went hand in hand with the way that he lived his life. And it's important for us to see this, because this next miracle sometimes gets bypassed because many actually think this is the same miracle as the feeding of the 5,000. But they're two different miracles. And one of the things that I pray that I will be able to develop with this one is that there's an amazing picture of ministry as followers of Jesus that we should also mimic. And I want to be able to take this, you know, passage and just kind of go through it like we normally do. And so in verse 1, we see in those days, and this could also be read during Jesus' time in the region of the Decapolis. And as Jesus remained in this Gentile area, notice this, another crowd began to form around him. More and more people are starting to come to Jesus. And if you can recall, this is completely different compared to chapter 5. Remember with me that Jesus healed a person that was from this area. And when they came out to see this man that Jesus healed from a legion of demons, after seeing him sitting in his right state of mind, clothed with Jesus, and they saw all of those pigs drowned in the Sea of Galilee, remember, they begged Jesus to leave. But now they're hanging out with them. What a difference, right? And so the other thing that is amazing is that Mark reveals that they had nothing to eat. Their resources have, you know, deplenish. There's no more food in the sack, and there's no more food in the stomach. And I'm just going to warn you right now, I haven't eaten, so if my stomach starts growling, you might hear it. But this is where they were at. And so they're out in the wilderness, no markets, nothing like that is around them, and they have no more food. And so what does Jesus do? He calls his disciples to himself. He pulls them aside to have a private conversation with them away from the crowd. And so what is the first thing that Jesus said in verse 2? I have compassion on the multitude. And what we need to remember is that this word compassion means more than just feeling bad for someone's distress. Whenever they're going through it, it's not just feeling bad for them, but it also means to come alongside of them and help relieve them of what they're going through. And this is, again, something that Jesus not only said, but his heart went out to this crowd of people. For the disciples, this was nothing new. Remember that we've been going through the gospel account, and we've seen many times where it says that when Jesus saw a crowd of people, that he was moved with compassion, because to him, this crowd of people look like sheep without a shepherd. So what we need to ask is, what was it about this crowd that moved Jesus to declare that I have compassion on them? And if you notice with me, Jesus told his disciples, this crowd of people have been with me for 3 days and they have nothing to eat. Here's the concern. 72 hours. These people, this group of people who are mainly Gentiles, have remained with me out in the wilderness. And what that means is they're out in the middle of nowhere. Like, how many of you, just for fun, go out in the middle between, you know, State Line and Baker? Right? In the middle of nowhere. There's nothing out there. And if that is you, you're a little weird. I'm just kidding. Don't get mad. I'm sorry. But there's nothing around them. And so one of the things that is amazing to me is, as you paint this picture, no resources, no markets. When it says that in the later passage or in the later verses that Jesus had them sit on the ground, do you realize that this is a clear picture of a season, which is summer? How many of you like to go sit out on the concrete during summer? Uncomfortable. Dirt, uncomfortable. Like, I don't get it. Listen, I like hiking. I like camping. But you know my style of camping? RV, recliner. I might go out and see a bonfire from a distance. I don't like bears. I don't like snakes. So forget that stuff, okay? But one of the things that I want us to see here is this. They were out in the middle of nowhere, listen, beloved, with no intention on leaving. I want that to sink in a little bit. Remember the length of time, 72 hours. And many scholars, many people believe that this crowd of people were not just there to see Jesus perform miracles. You know, oh, wow, look at what Jesus did, and then they're out. No, this crowd of people had a desire to stay so that they could hear Jesus preach. In other words, they wanted more of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but this really ministered to my heart, because can you imagine Jesus seeing this crowd? And again, not Jewish people, but yet a crowd who were considered outsiders, a crowd that may have heard, you're not good enough to be a part of God's family. Now, they're with Jesus and they're not wanting to separate themselves from him. They just want to hear more and more and more. Listen, I don't know if I shared this before. Maybe I have. And if you've heard it, just laugh and say, ha ha, you're funny. But when I was growing up, before becoming a believer, I guarantee you that if you were to ever ask if they're still alive, any of my high school teachers, if you were to ever tell them, actually, do you know that Jerry Camacho is a minister of the gospel? They would probably die. I had teachers that flat out told me, don't even bother showing up to my class. I'll give you a D. There were teachers that told me, you're probably going to end up dead or in jail when you grow up. Already writing me off, and I'm just going to be real, I probably gave them every reason to say that. I wasn't there to learn. And I treated many of them with disrespect. But if I would have listened, what they said probably could be true. But I'm so thankful that that's not what God says of me. And I'm so thankful that that's not what God says of you. Though this world may have an opinion about who you are, that's not how God sees you. And this is why it's so important that we understand the depth of what we're looking at, that these people had such a desire that they would ignore their own physical hunger to hear the word of God. God, when was the last time we've ever felt that way? You know, if I had my choice, you guys wouldn't like me, because this is the way I would roll. I would want to go back to some old school church. And what do I mean by that? In my opinion, I believe God deserves more than just an hour of our time. And I listened to several different pastors, and I remember, you know, there's a pastor by the name of John Corson. This brother can go for 2 hours with no problem. I've heard another pastor that I listened to. His name's Paul Shepherd. He's a pastor of a church out in the Bay Area. He's a black pastor, and he tells about his childhood memories of church. They would go to Sunday school first thing for an hour, and then they would have a break. And then they would go to church service for a couple of hours. And then they would have another break and go downstairs and eat some fried chicken. And then they go back up and they have another church service. And they would be there from morning till late afternoon. I would love to go back to some old school times where all of us can gather in one room, not have to worry about different services, but just sit and let the Lord minister to our hearts. Because I believe God deserves more than just an hour of our time on a Sunday morning. And I believe today the only time we see a crowd of people staying in a building more than an hour, sad to say, is at a concert. Is at a football game. And what's even sad is that they'll even stand in line for days because of a TV. You guys remember that? Seeing everybody camped outside of Best Buy. Oh, I'm getting a deal. Oh my goodness. Yeah, 3 days of your time to get $20 off. Way to go. Come on now, you know that's real, right? You know that's truth. You add up your time, you spend way more money on that TV than you think. But notice where their priority is. An image that shoots things at you. A football team that plays on a field that you never get to be on the field. You buy all the gear, you have your favorite jersey. And you know what's even scarier? That you can't even enjoy a sports game without having to worry about who's sitting next to you. About somebody having too much alcohol and wanting to fight just because their team's losing. When was the last time we've ever seen people hungry for the Word of God? That's why I said, if I had my way, I wish we can go back to some old school church. Because I would love to spend more than just an hour or two. But I would really love to be able to be around family, worshiping the Lord, and not worrying about time. That's where these people were at. They had no desire, no intention of leaving. And so what was Jesus' concern? Second concern here, verse 3, that if I send them away hungry, they will faint. They won't make it home. Some of them had traveled a great distance to be there. And Jesus knew they were too weak to travel. So Jesus not only knew how awesome it was to feed them spiritually, but he also knew it was time to feed them physically. If they were to leave, they would either pass out or become ill on their way home. And I want to remind us in this passage, this is a private conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. And I can just imagine it going something like this. Okay, fellas, I shared with you my concerns. And since the disciples had already been in this situation just a short time ago, remember the feeding of the 5,000? Almost the similar situation. And you would think that the disciples would have said, come on, Jesus, you already know what you're going to do. We've seen you do it before, even with a bigger crowd. This is no problem for you, Jesus. Just tell us what to do and we'll do it. You would think that's what would have come out of their mouth, right? But notice what verse 4 says. Then the disciples answered, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? I want to read this to you in the NIV translation because I think it reads a little bit better. But it says this, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? So from their response, I think all of us can agree, the disciples completely forgot about the miracle Jesus just did. They forgot all about the feeding of the 5,000 and what caused them to forget this amazing miracle, what they could see horizontally. This desolate place, this remote place, caused them to doubt that Jesus could provide for them, that there was no way possible that they could feed this amount of people. They themselves were perplexed. And we need to be careful, beloved, that we don't make too much fun of the disciples here. And why do I say that? Because I believe, if we were all honest here, we have at times made the same mistake. That we focus too much on what we can see and forget about all of the past victories that God has done in our life. And we start stressing and we start worrying and we start trying to kick down doors that God never intended us to go through because we think we can do it. One of the things that I pray we would never forget, and that is this, if we do forget God's past deeds in our life, those victories that we've experienced, you will forget the power that's made available to you. We can even forget that with God, all things are possible, right? And so, after their response, notice verse 5, Jesus didn't get angry with them. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't belittle them. All Jesus did was ask them a simple question. And that question was, how many loaves do you have? And I want you to, you know, basically understand what was Jesus saying. Okay, fellas, how much food do you have? And I want you to kind of grasp this because I don't want us to miss this. This is my personal opinion, and you can disagree with me, but it's not a salvation issue, okay? You guys with me? All right, if not, just remember, Steve at Calvary SG, you send all your complaints there. All right, my personal opinion, I believe that Jesus was giving them an opportunity to recall, to remind them of the past miracle, because Jesus almost asked them the same question. And after hearing that, you would have, again, we would think that they would go, hey, this is kind of like a deja vu kind of thing. You've done this before, Jesus. You asked us the same question. So the question may have tried to, Jesus may have tried to spark their memory. You know, remember, I'm here, right? And sure enough, listen, they missed it. They completely missed it. And one of the things that I pray is that we would look at this, even though they may have missed it, this is what we need to see. Jesus was actually inviting them, not just to recall the miracle, but to be a part of the miracle. Because here, he's asking them, how much food do you have? See, that was much different than the first time. The first time he sent them out into the crowd, go find out how much food we have. But this particular time, Jesus says, how much do you have? And the other thing that I want us to kind of know comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Because not only does it say that Jesus asked them how many loaves you have, in the Gospel of Matthew, it says 7 loaves and some fish. Okay? But what is Jesus just asking for? Bread. That's all he asked for. He didn't say anything about fish. And I want you to hold on to that thought. The two things that are also important with this one verse is this. Not only was Jesus inviting them to be a part of this miracle, but they would need to be willing to give it up. Jesus said, "How many pieces of bread do you have?" So there was the invitation. The second thing that is important for us to see that even what they had was insufficient. There was no way that those 7 loaves would feed 4,000 people. So Jesus, listen carefully, not only asked them for bread, but he was asking them to give up something that they themselves would need to trust in him. And not only would they have to trust in him, when we are faced with difficult situations, how many of us have looked and said, "I don't know if I could give this up"? Come on now. Maybe it's just me. Because if I have a burrito, I'm not sharing. I ain't giving it up. Right? Sometimes we have stuff that we like, "I don't know if I can give this up." But all of this would require trust. And so Jesus in verse 6, after hearing how many loaves they had, this is what happens. Jesus told the crowd of people to sit down on the ground. And Jesus took the 7 loaves of bread, just like he did in the previous miracle. He gave thanks. In other words, he prayed over it. Jesus once again demonstrating where his source of power comes from. And then he broke the bread and he began to break them into pieces and then give them to his disciples. For what purpose? For them to distribute it to the people. And so as they went out, notice this picture. Jesus is the one who multiplies the bread. The disciples come, receive from Jesus, and then they go and set the food before the people so that they could eat, to relieve them of their distress, to relieve them of that empty stomach. And as they began eating, then notice verse 7, then they also had a few small fish. Now the fish pop up. After seeing Jesus multiply the bread, the disciples then come bringing him all that they had, which included the fish. Jesus didn't ask for it. And why am I stressing this? Because I believe, listen carefully, I believe this must have put a smile on Jesus' face. I believe he saw they're getting it. Because now they're not holding anything back. They are freely giving. They are willing to give Jesus everything for the sake of other people. And sure enough, notice the way that this unfolds. It says that he took the loaves of bread and he prayed over them. But here, it says that he took the bread, or took the fish, and he blessed it. Like, I don't know, this brought back memories for me when I would see, you know, my kids as they were growing up and watching them in certain situations where they would be faced to, am I going to do good or am I going to do bad? And you stand back as a parent and I would watch. And whenever they would do something good, I'd be like, yes, that's my girl or that's my boy. If they did anything bad, that's Marisa's son. I didn't say that. But listen, isn't it true that when somebody who you love, I'm just going to use me as an example. I can't tell you how many times I've told you that, you know, my dad watches the services, and every now and then he'll call me up on a Sunday and he'll say, "Hey, I watched your speech today." And I said, all right, well, that's awesome, Dad. Did you learn anything? And you know, he'll tell me certain things. I didn't know this about you. And then sometimes he'll say, you really, like, it was a really good speech. That's how he communicates with me. And every now and then he'll say, I'm proud of you. Man, that melts my heart. Here I am, 53. Hearing my dad tell me, I'm proud of you. It'll never get old, and it always blesses me. And I can just imagine how the Lord felt seeing his disciples kind of finally getting what he's been doing all along. And now them willingly say, hey, we also have some fish here. Here you go, Jesus. We're not going to hold anything back anymore. It's all here. And he blessed it. And when he blessed it, they were able to distribute it to everybody. And in verse 8, it says that they all, speaking of the crowd of people, ate as much as they wanted. They ate until they were fully satisfied. Verse 9 tells us that there were over 4,000 people. And with the seven loaves of bread and a few small fish, they were able to feed this many people. And Mark also reveals that they had seven large baskets left over of food. The moment that this miracle took place, Jesus sent them away to their homes, and him and his disciples got into the boat, headed over the Sea of Galilee to a new region. And beloved, this is a powerful miracle that sometimes gets bypassed because of the feeding of the 5,000. Some people make a mistake of thinking this is one event, but the truth and the reality is it's two different events, two different miracles, two different locations, two different groups of people, two different seasons. This miracle is an amazing miracle because not only did Jesus' heart go out to those who were Gentiles, not only is it an amazing miracle because Jesus lived out what he preached, but I believe what makes this miracle amazing is because Jesus gives us a picture for us as his disciples and how we're to serve. Do you realize that when we make a confession of faith, yes, God blesses us with the gift of everlasting life. That doesn't mean we just rejoice because we can go and spend eternity with the Lord, you know, in heaven and not do anything while we're here on earth. Do you realize, beloved, that God wants to use you today to further his kingdom? Okay. He does. He wants to use you. Okay? He wants to use you. And again, I mean, I think of this picture. Outsiders. God desires to reach those who feel like they're outcast. God desires to reach out to those who, in our day and culture, we may look like the enemy, but God desires for us to reach out to everybody. When it says that for God so loved the world, that means we as his followers need to follow suit and love everybody. And the reality of this picture is that, again, as we take away from this message, what is it? What is our takeaway? What does God want us to learn? And I believe it's this. As we serve the Lord, God help us that we would have compassion just like Jesus. Remember with me, our hearts, we need to understand what that word compassion means because our hearts need to go out to those who are in need of help. That we would not just turn our heads. That we would not just say, oh, I feel sorry for them and that's it. But that we would literally come alongside of people who are hurting and walk with them through those difficulties they face. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 tells us, but do not forget to do good and to share, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. Did you guys hear that? When we literally take our eyes off of self and we can literally think of what other people need before our own needs, that is what pleases the Lord. One of the things that I pray we would also see here is this. Not only does it please the Lord, but there's a few other Bible verses. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us that we're to carry one another's burdens. When those issues of life become too heavy for one to carry. I don't know if this is a good example, but I'm going to just throw it out there because this is what I'm seeing recently. I don't know who this person is, and I know he's a big celebrity, but he just passed away. He was one of the main stars of that sitcom Friends show. And apparently he had an addiction to something. I have no idea what it was. But everybody was saying that his desire was to be there for his friends. That's an amazing desire. And I pray that we would all have a desire to help carry a load when we see somebody carrying a load. I pray that we would not turn the eye and pretend like we don't see that there's a need. And I'm going to be very transparent with you. I have to pray that God would check my heart when I'm driving around. I literally do, because sometimes I don't have compassion. I know that shocks you. I'm human just like anybody else. And I can turn away from the signs that are standing right before me, the people that are standing right before me with the sign. Maybe I'm a little calloused because I lived in Vegas for so long that I see those signs all the time. But I can too make the mistake of not just asking the Lord, do you want me to stop? I have no idea what that guy's going through or that woman. Carry each other's burdens. Galatians 6, chapter 9, verse 10, 9 and 10 tells us that as much as it is in our power, in our authority, as much as we have an opportunity, we are to do good to all people. And that even includes those who look at us as if we're their enemy, just because we don't believe in their pronouns, or because we don't agree with their lifestyle, or because we don't back up whatever movement they're a part of. We are still called to love. Is it challenging? Yes. But again, if God is leading us in how to do this, then it's possible for us to be a light. It's possible for us to explain, you do you. You have every right to live the life that you want, but don't ever expect, here's the truth, that God's going to bless it when it's against his word. As much as you don't like being lied to, I don't like lying. So I'm not going to call you something that you're not. I want to stand up for what truth says. And it is my responsibility to receive from God and to pass it on. It's not my word. It's not my opinion. It is God's written word. And that's the truth that we need to reveal to people. This is how we extend that love. Remember, Jesus went into a Gentile area where many of those Gentiles probably heard for years and years that they were no better than dogs. And here comes Jesus extending love, the exact opposite message, that God loves you, that God desires to be with you. You see, beloved, as we serve the Lord and we have compassion, I want us to understand and make sure we know this, as we carry one another's burdens, it does not mean that it's, you know, that we have to always dig into our pockets. Money is not always the issue. It's not always the solution. Some of you might be looking at me, well, Pastor Jerry, give me what you got. No. But can I tell you, there's a way that we can serve people without having to dig into our pocket. How is that? praying for people, praying with them, praying for them. Having the ability, listen, to pray is one of the most powerful things that we can do. As we place them in God's hands, we're asking God to, again, reveal himself to people, that we would just direct them. We would lift them up and place them in Jesus' hands. Beloved, our responsibility is to direct them to Jesus. The second thing that we can do is serve them. How? Give of your time. Maybe, you know, be available to visit with them, to, you know, go and give them a ride or go shopping for somebody who's sick. Maybe babysit for somebody who's in a jam, or maybe they have an emergency. You can do those things, and that extends love. Your presence during their difficulty can do wonders. And sometimes your presence can be more powerful than your words. How many of us have ever felt like it's awkward? I don't know what to say after somebody loses a loved one. But do you realize your presence and a hug at that moment when a person is in shock is probably the best thing that they could ever have? We can do those things. And yes, the Lord invites us to give financially, but again, let the Lord lead you in that. Just as Jesus invited the disciples here, he only asked for bread, but they were willing to give up their fish. When you have opportunities to serve people, you may see other things that are needed, and God may put it upon your heart to meet those needs without even being asked. Again, the disciples revealed it. So we can serve people with compassion. The second thing I want to challenge us with is, remember this, as we serve, a servant is not greater than his master. John chapter 13, verse 16. Remember that Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he challenged each and every one of them there in that room. What I have done for you, you need to do for one another. And he said very clearly, no servant is greater than his master, and the one who is sent is not greater than the one who sent him. But blessed are you if you do these things. Beloved, do you realize when we come alongside and help people, when we serve people, you and I are not the Savior. There's only one, and it's Jesus. We need to remember that. We're not to give them our opinion, but we're to give them God's word, that we're to receive from the Lord, and whatever we receive from the Lord is that is what we give to people. And that is the greatest thing that we can do as we serve. This miracle would have never happened if Jesus didn't provide for it. God used his disciples as instruments to be used by him to bless other people. They were just the instruments. And one of the things I want to also remind us again, as we're just the instruments, we can't sing our own tune. Whatever we do, I pray we would do for the glory of God. That it is God's name that gets glorified and not us. That we would not desire more of the pats on the back than we would hear people say, praise Jesus. And my last encouragement is this. Beloved, as we serve the Lord, don't forget past victories. Because if we forget them, we will also forget that all things are possible with God. We need to remember we are his servants. And the only way that this world is going to change is not because of our government, not because we yell louder, but it's a life that has been impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has changed from darkness into that marvelous light, who are now devoted to living the truth that is found in the scriptures, and everything else is just directed to God. That's a servant. And I pray that today we would be his servants, that whatever we do, I pray that Calvary Chapel would not get glorified. I pray that our staff wouldn't get glorified. I pray that it would be the name of Jesus that gets glorified. That's our desire. And I pray that we would lock arms together to be servants. Because I believe the greatest reward is to hear people say, praise God. Because it takes us completely out of the picture and God gets all the glory. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning, and I thank you for your word once again, and I pray that we would continue, God, to give you our hearts so that you can work in and through us. And in those times where we may not fully get it, Lord, I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. But as we serve you, may we learn. May we have a teachable heart. God, as we serve you, may we also, Lord, when we see needs, that we would meet them without being asked. And Lord, whenever you give us an opportunity to serve, that we would definitely only give people you. That we would receive from you, and what we receive from you, we would pass on to others. So Lord, help us today to be those instruments. We love you. We give you this time. We give you our hearts. Go before us and help us this day to live more for you. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.